My name is Mark Hungerford, and this is an interview with Elwood Smith at Smitty's home in Linden, Washington, on February 7, 1983. Mr. Smith was a miner in the Holden Mine for about a year in 1940. Working at Holden. Did you hear about it here in Linden, or?
Yeah, I'm just okay, here in Linden, a friend of mine that I'd been on WPA and then laid me off. And he said his brother was up there at Lucerne. Said he'd probably be able to get a job at the mine if we went up there. So I went up with him. Uh-huh. And I couldn't get on at the mine right away because they didn't have room in the barracks up there. For them.
But they had work to do, but there wasn't any place for the men to live?
That's right. Uh-huh. And so I worked there at the CERN for old man Getty, owned the summer resort there.
Uh-huh.
Worked about a month or so for him. Until they finally got room for me. Well, both of us, we both went up there and they gave us a room in the barracks. There's two in a room.
Which one was that? Which lodge was it? Do you remember? Was it one of the ones that had a kitchen in it, or was it just a simple room with a...
No, it's one of the double barracks, double high, uh-huh. And there's... They had a rig in the back end there where you could do your washing, had a washing machine, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Did you get to room with your friend?
Yeah.
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
What did you do down in Lucerne when you were down there waiting?
Oh, we hauled in a bunch of wood where that power line came in across up there, and they cut the trees down, they just cut them up and left them there, and uh-huh. Getty got them. So he had a truck, he drove it up there and hauled wood down. And then he built a place for a washroom, toilets and washroom like that.
Uh-huh.
And I helped build that and put him do the plumbing for it. And,
uh-huh. Were there people living in Lucerne besides him, or was it just him and the resort?
No, there was a couple of cabins that was occupied, and then there was a house there that this kid, that my friend, his brother, lived in there, in the house. That's all burnt down now.
Uh-huh.
Gone. So you get it, used to have a store there and a post office and everything there.
In Lucerne. And the boat brought the mail and people up, and
was that?
The boat brought everything up late?
Oh yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the landing up there, place for them.
Did they have a barge or a tug or something back in those days to haul the ore out of the mine, or?
No, the everything that came up for the store and like that just came up on that boat that brings the...
The Lady of the Lake. That's what
it's
called.
It's a mail boat is what it is. Brings the mail up there.
Uh-huh.
He got all his stuff through that. Now the only barges was the barge that was for the mine up there. They had big barges there. They loaded them big buckets full of concentrates on the barges and then towed them down the lake. Land. Then they went on flat cars. Where they went from there, I don't know. I don't know where the smelter was.
I don't know. So you worked at Lucerne, and then you finally got a job up at the mine with your friend. And you went up, and did they put you to work the first day? Or did you get a little chance to look around? Or
first, I had to go up to the doctor's office and have x-ray on a chest. Everything was okay. The doctor told me, he said, you got more room in your chest than most big men for breathing.
So that's, they were trying to figure out if men were suited to work in underground,
yeah,
or it was real dusty and
lungs and breathing capacity. Because underground there, there's air shot into you, but it's still not like outdoors. Because when you're working, I know I asked a guy there how hard I was supposed to work. He said, you'll find out. He said, just go ahead. And just keep moving along and no hurry about it, and you're okay. But you start busting into it, you break out in the sweat, and the air just isn't
as good. Then the first day after you got your medical examination, then did you start working, or?
I went right from there. It was through about 9 o'clock, and I went over to the mine, and one of the bosses took me into the mine and up the hoist and down in the tunnel.
Had you ever been inside a mine? You'd never been in a mine before.
Never
had
been in a mine before.
Were you sort of frightened, or?
Well, it was exciting. Everything's dark up in there, and most of them, some tunnels that have light in, but most of it's dark. And of course, you got a hat on
with a little light
on it. And he took me back in there, and I forget just how far, back in the tunnel and down and back again someplace else, and come up to a big hole in the ground in there. It looked like it was about 20 feet deep, and I had a pick and a shovel with me. He says, go down there. I had a rope. You go down on the rope.
Just slid down the rope?
Yeah. He says, it's a rope with knots and stuff. And it wasn't straight down. It's just maybe 20 degrees, something like that there. And when you get down there, he says, you look down in there, and you'll see some guys working in there. Down at the bottom of this thing, they're working underneath like that. Three different directions there. That's what they call coyote holes, where they're 3x4. 4 feet high and 3 feet wide.
Not big enough to stand in.
No, you can't stand it. Lay down and work in there. It usually takes two guys to do one of them. There's one guy in there shoveling it out, and then the guy over here taking it away so you can get it on out. And they go in about 25 feet, I guess. And you don't take out any more than you have to, because that's where they're going to put a load of powder in there, probably around 50 bottles of powder. And all this muck got to go back in there again over top of it, so you don't move it any further than you have to.
You mean they take out enough
just
muck
enough for
to
get you
the
to
powder
get in
and
out of it.
And then after the powder's in, they plug it all solid again?
Yeah, then you shovel it back in there on top of it again.
Oh.
Fill that whole thing up.
And it's all done by hand with the shovel.
Yes.
Is that dirt or is it rock?
It's
or both?
Broken rock is what it is.
So it's heavy stuff.
Oh, yes. It's some of it's fine, drawn up to big chunks like that, you know. Now you lay down in there and your back and use a shovel and put it out over your shoulder.
How much did they pay you to do that? Do you remember?
$5 a day.
Was that pretty good for that time?
No.
It wasn't good?
Not really. Not for mine. Of course, your boarding room was, you got your boarding room free, but you paid an electric bill, I believe it was, 30 cents or so, something like that there. I know when I started working in there, just looking at it, it didn't look right.
You about ready to go home?
Yeah. I think I'd have come out of there if I don't know how to get out, but I couldn't have found my way out. But I stuck to it. It was so interesting to me that if it wasn't for the guy working with me, I'd have worked right through dinner time, you know.
Yeah.
There's always two working together.
You know, anywhere in the mine?
You never work by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At least two of you there.
So that was your first job in the mine, was cleaning muck and coyote holes?
That was the first, I don't know, stayed in there maybe a week or so, and then I was get mucking in a drift, a cutter drift they call.
That's, and what is that now?
That's where you use the wheelbar, and that's where I laid the planks on the floor.
Now, you were the first person to do that, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do now?
Okay. Well, I hunted up some planks, they call it legging, and 2x12s, 2x10, 2x12s, and had about 12 foot lengths. And I told one of the miners there, he's working on one end of the tunnel, me on the other end. He's drilling and I'm mucking. See, they have two shifts, day and night shifts. And, I told him what I was going to do, and he said, "Oh, sounds all right to me." So he told me where I could get the planks at. I went down, to Big Boys, got them, stacked them up in there, come on up with them. I got that all mucked out. I laid these planks there, and I left just enough muck in front to put over the top, so when they blew out the next round, it wouldn't lift the planks up, you know. So, well, that was date time, and that night, the miner drilled around in there and blasted it out, and then the next morning when I went in there, I didn't know some on the planks. And with a square poncho, it worked just fine.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you can imagine what it'd be like with that big broken rock and stuff.
Trying to get it in your shovel.
Get your shovel underneath the snow. And,
uh-huh.
It's awful slow.
Uh-huh.
I got it to where I could, depend on how close I was to these slopes where I had to dump it, you know, near 100 feet apart. And this tunnel would just go right along until it run right into one of them, run right into the side of one of them like that, you know.
So the slopes, they were running vertical.
They go down.
Or on a slope. And you dumped the muck into them?
Yeah.
Where did they go when you dumped it in?
It goes clean on down to the big tunnel where the cars come in, where they load it in the car.
And did it fall right into the cars, or did they have to pick
it
up and load it again?
There's a gate there for it.
Well, a gate?
No, it's made out of planking.
Uh-huh.
And they can open that up when the car's there and let it take as much as they want of it, you know, for
uh-huh.
each car. And these slopes are coming down on both sides like that. And, there'd be counting. There's quite a few of them along here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the big tunnel there. That's, that thing is maybe about 10 by 12 or something like that. It's a big one.
Now, those stopes, and they ran into ore cars. Were they on an electric train track, or was that carried out by hand then?
No, that went on out. They had an engine with it. I beat that thing electric.
Mm-hmm.
And come out of the mine tunnel this way, and then it turned to the right, went on up, and the place there where they dumped it into a big hopper, you might call it. And then it went from there into your crusher, big rock crusher. And from the rock crusher into the ball mills, they're great big tanks, they're standing straight up and down.
Uh-huh.
They're full of ball bearings, steel bearings, and they're turning all the time like this.
Are the balls on a chain or a string or something?
No, they're just laying loose inside.
Oh, laying loose in there.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And stuff goes in there, and as it turns like that, the balls are rolling around, and
yeah.
It grinds this crushed rock.
Uh-huh.
They crush it about the same as you see crushed rock on the road, you know.
About that size, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And these balls, they grind it up into just almost the powder.
Mm.
Is the mill still there?
There.
On the side hill?
Yeah, parts of it are there, and those big mill, those big ball things are there. The balls are gone, but the tubs are still there. But what happened, most of the mill got, with the mine closed, there was no heat to keep the snow off the roofs, and the snow over a period of years has crushed a lot of it. And then there was a salvage crew that came in right after the mine closed, and they took out a lot of steel and probably weakened it. But it's still there. You would recognize it, I know. Most of the little arterial buildings sticking out here and there off of the main building are long gone, but the big structure of the mill is still there. And that entrance where you say where the cars come out to swing to the right, that entrance is still there. It's closed up. But you can still see the tracks go right into the side of the hill.
Yeah.
But of course it doesn't go anywhere now, but.
There's a big building there they call the dry room. Is that still there?
Yeah. What was that for?
Well, that's for you go in there and you had your lockers and had steam pipes up in the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And you could go down there all dressed up if you wanted to and go to the mine, you know, and then go in there and you got working clothes in your, well, you got a basket, really. You put your working clothes in that basket when you get, take them off at night. And it's got a chain and pulley. It pulls them up the steam pipes
once
they get dry. They dry out. And then you can take your good clothes out of the locker and put them on and go on over to the mine.
So you always had dry clothes in for your next shift.
And you had showers there, so you could take a shower after. You also turn in your time there, and then there's a place where you take your battery and put it on a charger for the next shift.
So that was, you say you had to dry your clothes. Was it pretty wet and dirty down underground?
Not too bad. It wasn't muddy or anything like that. It was damp. That's a little water here and there running on the bottom of the tunnels, but not much. You could look at the light from one of the spotlights if you were in a spotlight. When you're a mucker, they give you a floodlight. And when you run a machine, a miner, then they give you a spotlight.
On your helmet?
Yeah. Both look the same as everyone. One is spot and one makes a
Oh, I see.
Light.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you can look into that light there and you can always see the dust in there.
I'll bet.
And it's just, you know, it looked like gold and silver and it's up just shining through it, you know. Something like see dust in some ray of sunshine come into a room or something. So it isn't too wet if you see dust flying around.
How old were you when you were working underground?
What was that?
How old were you? when you worked there?
1940, I'd be 30 years old.
Were most of the miners younger men, or were they all ages and the older guys?
All ages. It's from, I'd say from 20 to maybe 50. Most of the bosses were older.
Uh-huh. Well, after you were a mucker for a week, then what did they ask you to start with?
Yeah, the hard one was I'd been there just, I mean, it was about a week and a half or so. And once a month, they set off them big blasts. They did have maybe 40 to 50 of them holes, coyote holes, where they loaded them up.
Mm-hmm.
40 to 50 bucks of butter in each one of them things.
And they set them all off at once?
All those at once, Sunday morning.
Sunday morning?
Yeah. And here you are, way across the creek, over there in the barracks.
Yeah.
It'll almost shake you out of bed.
Is that right?
Darn good. Anyway, the next morning, it's Monday morning, going to work. Man, everything in there is just a grinding and a popping. It's scary, believe me.
Huh.
It takes usually a day or day and a half to clean up the stuff from the tunnels that it fell in, you know.
Mm.
And all that. Some of the service rusts got tracks in them. Again, a little dolly you can push your machine for drilling and your steel and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Big chunks of rock laying in there. I got to clean that all up before you can do anything else.
Yeah.
You're about to be working in there, and you just, it just sounds like two great big rocks just grinding together like this. And then all of a sudden, something will go off like a firecracker.
Uh-huh.
And do that for about a day and a half, 2 days.
After the big blast.
Yeah.
That's just the mountain kind of settling and the rocks.
Well, that's a lot of powder, you know, my gosh, and that's rock powder, too. I didn't stump powder.
Uh-huh. So you were going to tell me what you started doing then, after you were a mucker? Then did you start drilling, or?
I didn't work very long at it. It was about the last week, I guess, that I worked there. They put me on a machine. They call it a buzzy. And that's for drilling up on a slope.
Mm.
In other words, it'd be one of them stopes that were going up. And they're about, I never heard exactly, but I think they're about 20 degrees and they weren't straight up, but almost. I don't think I'd have stuck at that very long, because heck, I only weighed about 130 pounds and one of them buzzy, it's bigger than most of your jackhammers.
Uh-huh.
And then the air hose and water hose connected to it, and put a steel in there, you got, I would say, 150 pounds there.
So you held it in your hands to run it?
Until you get the hole collared.
The hole collared?
Yeah, that means your bit.
Started.
Get the end to where it won't come off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a job. That was the hard part for me. Oh, you have just got a handle on both sides of it, the trigger there. And you have to hold that. You may have to go into a rock that's slanted like this.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just broken rock in front of you there, you know. And it is like a wall.
So you're going into it straight, but the rock is crooked.
Yeah.
So it's going to try to bounce off to the side.
That is right.
Side.
You got to hold it right there until you get, they call it collaring the hole, until the hole gets collared. And then you can turn it loose and then just sit there and it goes like that by itself.
You just hold the trigger down.
Well, you can set the trigger.
Uh-huh. Do you have to push on it?
No.
It'll feed itself into the rock.
Well, that's where that stinger is in the back end of it. And you pull the trigger and the air hits even the drill part. It also pushes this rod out of the back end of it.
Oh.
It's got a point on the end of it. And you've got to get your planking in there. So you're up like this, and you got to put your planking in so it sits like this. and then you're drilling into the, here, your plane is sitting back here, so the drill is set up like that.
Mm-hmm. And, the drill is following the angle of the stope.
Yeah.
And you have to have something behind it that the stinger will push against?
Well, you have to build something to stand on there, too, you know.
Oh.
You get put your planking there. Take two sticks and go up there and measure them out.
Uh-huh.
And cut your plank and put them in there, and you get fine wedges. They're about 4 inches wide, 8 inches long, something like that. And they're just a wedge. Mm-hmm. And you wedge this both sides of this planking till you got it good and solid.
Uh-huh.
And have it the right slant so that it takes care of that thing. And when you hold that machine out, that stinger comes out, it goes into that planking.
Right.
And that, as long as the air is on, it keeps pushing the machine ahead.
I see.
And that's the reason you can turn loose of it after you get the oil collar.
And you just stand there and keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Well, you have to watch it. I usually hold on to it, but then you don't have to hold any weight.
Right.
You hold it mostly for the feel of it. Because you can hit soft rock in there, and you have to slow it down then. You don't get quite so much air. You can take your trigger off of where you set it, go by itself, and take it off of that. And, you can give it less air than you would if it's wide open.
I see.
Because
how fast can it drill? Do you remember?
Oh, it's about the same as a jackhammer. You've probably heard of one of them around. I've seen one run.
And it's just drilling a hole to stuff powder in? For a stick of dynamite?
Enough for stick powder on the ground.
And you showed me before that you had to do it in a very special pattern so that it would blow out of there, right?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah. Well, everything has to break from the center out.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, you have 16 to 18 holes, depends on. Some of them have what they call a 3-finger burn, some a 5-finger burn, and that's right in the center. You load top one and bottom one in the center hole, and that deal, you leave that there with no powder in it. And then the other holes are on the side and up above like that there. And all your primers are timed. Like aux, they would go off first, and the ones would go off next,
mm-hmm.
and like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're, you load them this, these two aux would go off, and then the two ones over here would go off.
So it was blowing it, it was starting with a small hole and making it bigger and bigger and bigger,
right.
And blowing it right out down the stove.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the last three to go is the bottom, like on the lifters. That throws it away from the face of the drift.
So it would clean itself.
Yeah.
So how many holes are we talking about then, all together?
Well, depending on what, where you're drilling too, and just a powder drift, the drill of, like I say, from 16 to 18 holes. Usually 16. And they're 5-foot holes. You drill 5 feet deep, in other words. But with that buzzy, I'm drilling in the stope, you drill 18 holes there, and they're 7-foot holes. You end up with a 7-foot drill in there.
How long would it take to set one up for to be ready to blow?
Well, on a powder drift where you got an upright machine and everything, you can drill it and load it all in one shift. But that one I was on, that buddy deal, that's, you see, you got so much work to do before you even get your machine running. You got to time that thing, and it's just like, well, you've seen the foot of a rock cliff where all the stuff just fell down.
Yeah.
When you try to walk up it, you know, that loose stuff.
Yes.
You got to carry your planking and stuff up there.
And the farther you drill, the higher you have to climb the next day.
That's right. Yeah. And you got to carry your machine up there, and then your two hoses, your big rubber hoses like that, and get your steel up there. And, before you can even start drilling. I could get about between around six, sometimes seven holes drilled. That would be my shift. And the night shift, or the day shift, whichever it was, it was working.
Yeah.
And finish it. I was always the one that had to put everything up there.
You always caught that.
And I told the boss, I said, I don't know how long I can keep this. It just ain't big enough.
Yeah.
Get me up there and try to hold that thing and collar a hole in a piece of rock like that. And you only got maybe 4 inches to choose from, you know.
Yeah.
They got to be about right.
Yeah.
And hold that. Throw me around like a fly on a mule tail. I'm trying to hold that in there.
Yeah.
That was.
Did you pack that powder yourself and load it and prime it, or did they have a special crew that did that kind of work?
No, do that yourself.
Do it yourself. Did they teach you how to handle that stuff, or it was just kind of common sense? Be careful. Okay, you're saying it's called nipping?
Yeah.
And you just kind of, you helped him and
I help him loosen the bolts so that he can move his arm on this big jack where the machine is set on. And I get some of his steel for him in there. And then I go get a box of powder. Get his timers, and
so you kind of, you learn by doing that.
Yeah, I learned from the miner himself. He told me what to do and like that. And, big box of powder. He got a copper knife that you use for take the lid off the box and then
there's so there's no spark.
And the splitter. It's a powder just about like they use for shrimp powder, you know. It looks sticks just about the same, only it's higher. Stuff is, I think it's 60%. And you just cut a hole and do it like that there, split it, and you shove this cap in there, and they're about that long. It looked like a rifle bullet almost. And they got two wires coming out of them. Get them ready for him. And get his blower. Got a big long deal. It's got a long snout on it. You stick that in the hole to blow the dust
blow
out
the
of
dust
it.
Out.
And then he got a pole this big around to push that powder in there with. And then I help him take down his outfit and take it out. Sometimes out into a service drift or around sometimes there's a corner or another drift. You might go into a drift like this. If you can get it around the corner, then you can leave the stuff there so it can blast that way. It won't hurt the machinery.
Was anybody ever hurt while you were there with all that powder and
Oh, there might have been some little accidents. I get a toe mast or something like that.
Yeah, but nothing serious.
Finger mast or something. Just small deals.
Did the miners get paid pretty well? That wasn't really the top of the ladder either. Then there were supervisors and engineers and other people that...
A miner on a regular powder drift got $6. And he's in a coyote hole. I mean, they got $7 a day for that. Or six and a half, one or two, I forget. I never did run a machine in one of them. reason for that is it's harder to get in there and get your work done, you know. And even mucking out of them coyote holes, you get 5.5 a day for that.
You got a little more.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But where you can stand up straight in the tunnel and work, it's $5 a day for a mucker.
Uh-huh.
And you're supposed to, when you get your round mucked out, that's supposed to be a day's work. You can walk out if you want to.
And get paid for it.
Yeah.
So if you work faster than 8 hours, then you could just.
I could have went out any time. I was around 1-2 o'clock. Did that, I'd go back and help miners.
Uh-huh.
That was interesting. I didn't do it for any other reason. I just wanted to learn.
Yeah.
Something new to me.
How many people were there when you were there? Do you remember?
It came to about 900 working there. That's all together in the mill and everything.
And some of those men had their families with them?
Oh, yeah.
And children were there? And
yeah, there was. I never did count the houses, but there must have been 50 or more houses in there. You say they burnt them all down? Or?
Well, yeah, the Forest Service burned most of them down, and the snow took down some of them, and I think once they began to fall down, then the Forest Service bulldozed them in.
Oh, I guess
they weren't built as well as the buildings in the village, and they just weren't going to stand up. I think the Forest Service was afraid someone would get hurt,
mm-hmm.
some hikers or something coming through, so there's nothing there now except the roads, and most of that's pretty hard to recognize.
You can imagine there was houses on both sides of that road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a residential section there, just like you would be outside of a town.
Is that right?
Yeah. And you had stop signs and there's a whole work in there.
People have their own cars?
Some of them did.
Hmm. Well, there wasn't anywhere to drive it though, was there?
Well,
just up and down the street.
Lucerne on up.
Down to Lucerne. Yeah.
There's a 12-mile road there, something like that.
Uh-huh. Even in the wintertime, could they drive? Did they keep the road plowed out?
Oh, yeah. They had to keep the road plowed out.
So they could get the ore out.
Trucks down there.
How did they do that?
And they had snow plow. Rotary snow plow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still wouldn't want to drive one of those trucks, though. Yeah. That is a very nice road for slippery road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get right down to the bare gravel when you're taking snow off the road. It always leaves the snow about so deep, you know, and it gets pretty slippery after a while. Of course, them trucks they probably had around. Let's see, they'd haul 3 of them buckets, about 9 pounds a bucket, 18. I mean, about 9 ton to a bucket, and 18 ton.
Yeah, they had a lot of weight in the back there to hold them down on the road.
Ton, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think them trucks ever got into high gear. They'd stay right grandma low all the time, going and coming.
Were you there over a winter time?
Part of the
winter? So you saw some of that deep snow they had. Did people ski then? Or did they do the much of that sort of thing?
I never seen any of that there, no. There might have been some, but I never seen it.
What did people do for their spare time? What was there to do there?
Oh, shoot pool. A bowling alley there.
Uh-huh.
Harry played cards. Also had a library. You can get books and read them if you want
to. Oh. Did they allow drinking?
No. They weren't supposed to. Some of the guys bring a little beer up, you know.
From Lucerne?
And just drink it in the room. But not enough, you know, to get drunk or anything like that. If they want to do that, they had to take the bus down to Lucerne.
That's where all that went on.
Yeah. like there's two places down there. One right alongside of Lucerne there. I forget what they call that place. They used to have dances there on Saturday night.
Did they have to have police or security guards or anything up at the village then?
No, not that I know of. I never noticed any.
Did they, didn't they have a basketball team or softball teams and things like that? Did you do any of that?
No, I didn't. They had a basketball team. Played basketball up there in the room where we were. They had a show up there about every two or three times a week. They had a picture show in there.
That was in the big gym, right?
Yeah.
They had a regular theater. Projectors and
yeah, they're just like in a big show house. Huh. And we had to pay to see that too, 35 cents.
Were they good movies? Or were they old? Were they pretty good movies for that time?
Oh yeah, they were.
They had good ones there, huh?
They got some of the good ones, but there's probably third or fourth run.
That didn't matter to you guys anyway, because you didn't see them the first run anyway, living up there.
I seen some nice ones up there. Mm-hmm. Had some with some of your better stars in them. How we did like the westerns and the outdoor ones, you know, and stuff like that. Once in a while they had musicals. Yes, I didn't care too much for them. But,
did they have a grocery store or a hard place where you could buy your clothes and things like that, or did you have to go down the lake for that sort of thing?
They had a store right underneath the you got the commissary, right underneath the cookhouse there.
And you could buy like your clothes and your toothbrush and all that stuff right there.
Yep, anything that you needed. All kinds of clothes, gloves, shoes. Cigarettes and candy and stuff like that too. And then big recreation room there right in front. Had a kind of cafeteria deal in there. You could get a steak if you wanted to, and ice cream and stuff like that.
Did somebody told me that they didn't use the regular currency? They had their own money or something like that for that sort of thing. Do you remember that, or is that not right? Or did you just use your regular paycheck money?
No, you could charge stuff there in the store, and it was taken off of your check. And you didn't have no
tokens or anything like that.
No, not in there.
Maybe that was another later time or something. Was the food good?
What?
The food, was it good?
Oh, wonderful. The best in the world. Man, you just name it and you got it.
Did you sit down, like, did everybody come in and sit down and eat together what they serve you, or did you order off a menu, or how did that work in the commissary, not the snack bar, but the regular dining hall?
I never did see any... to tell you what you could get. I guess everybody was just used to knowing what they could order, you know. Like breakfast, you could have steak for breakfast if you wanted it. You could have ham and eggs, you could have hot cakes.
You just
asked
bacon.
For it. Yeah, just asked for it. And they had waitress there and they'd wait on you.
Pretty fancy.
Oh, you darn right.
What about lunch? Did you have to pack your own lunch? Or?
Yeah, when you just went to work, you put up your own lunch. Had a big lunch room there with, that's a blame much stuff in there. It was hard to figure out what you wanted. Yeah, everything you can think of.
But it was up to you to make it up.
Yeah. They made their own bread there, too. Good bread. They got a big deal and it looked like a cement mixer mid door. Is that still in there too?
There's let's see, I don't think
that's right off the kitchen.
Yeah, that lunchroom is there, but I don't think that That bread mixer you're talking about is there, but I was going to tell you that those old coffee pots, those big...
big urns?
I think they're probably about a 30-gallon or 25-gallon urn.
Yeah.
They're all still there. They're not hooked up anymore, but they're sitting there and you can see them. Yeah. They're just probably just as shiny as when you were there.
They're very big.
Yeah, they're huge. They're, some people walk in there and they don't even know what they are.
Big like hot water tank.
Yeah, right. Pretty fancy hot water tank.
Yeah, when I was up there in 59 and we went up there hunting. Yeah, this kind of caretaker there took us through and I noticed we went through the kitchen up there and heck, the shelves are full of food and gallon cans of stuff and
still
beans
there
and stuff there and sitting on the shelves.
When the mine closed, they just left it all behind.
Yeah, they left a lot of stuff there like that. And the tables were all set and I guess the silverware underneath the plates and stuff that's up there. And the silverware, cups and saws and everything sitting on the tables.
Mm.
There was in 59 and they'd, I don't know when they quit the mill exactly, quit the mine. A couple of years before that,
yeah.
Anyway.